I pray that you will bless the preaching and teaching of your word today. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to direct both the teaching and to anoint the hearing. In the name of Jesus, bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. The title of my message today is Satan Cannot Stop Me. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How many of you believe or understand that the devil is not happy when you come to church? How many of you know that? Yeah. The reason is that the church is the gathering of the people of God. Do you see? Now, let me explain this very well to you so that you can understand it. Amen? Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. 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 The book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And let's start reading from verse 5. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 5. Great. Okay. Right. It says, they were scattered for a lack of a shepherd. Can you see that? It says, they were scattered for a lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. Amen. Amen. Now, what this verse, maybe if we start reading from verse 1, you probably understand it. Verse 1, so Ezekiel chapter, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, okay, son of man, I'll be speaking French, so let me warm up a little bit, and then my French will arise. Amen? Right. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Then verse 3. You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Verse 4. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Okay. So now over here, God is giving us the job description of a pastor. Do you understand? The other name for a pastor is a shepherd, isn't it? Is it? Do you understand that? Right. So he's explaining, and he's mad at the shepherds because they have not done their work. And he's now going into detail to show us what work they have not done. So he says, those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. So the shepherds are supposed to strengthen those who are sickly and heal those who are diseased and to bind up those who are broken. And it says, the scattered you have not brought back, and you have not sought for the lost, but with force and severity you have dominated them. You see, so God doesn't want pastors to dominate his sheep with force and severity. Hallelujah. Right. Now the next one, it says, they were scattered. Here is the thing. Here is the thing. It says, they were scattered for a lack of a shepherd. Do you see? And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. Okay? Now, is there a verse 6 we can read? So, my flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search and seek for them. Hallelujah. Amen. No one to search and seek for them. So jump to verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of God. Jump to verse 12 quickly. Let's see. As I live, verse 12. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, etc., etc. Now, I want you to see something here, that God is saying that the presence of the shepherd, as it says in verse 5, he says the presence of the shepherd is what prevents scattering. Do you understand? God does not want his sheep to be scattered. Okay? And he says that the sheep are scattered for lack of a shepherd. Means if we have a shepherd, then the sheep should not be scattered. Isn't that the case? Now, why doesn't God want his sheep to be scattered? The reason is right there. Because when his sheep are scattered, they become food for every beast of the field. Do you understand? And God does not want his sheep to become food for every beast of the field. Every evil spirit, every demon, every trouble in the world. God doesn't want his children to become food for those kinds of things. Amen. So one of the reasons why God brings us together, one of the reasons for the gathering, one of the reasons for a church, is that God is trying to use the church to prevent the scattering of his sheep, and ultimately that they should not become food for every beast of the field. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you this morning? Amen. That is why God wants to keep us together. So when you read Matthew chapter 26, for example, you will see over in verse 31, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, there is a verse that suggests or that highlights the importance of the shepherd. He says, then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be what? Oh, I don't think you're with me. Are you with me this morning? Okay. He's saying that it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will do what? They will be scattered. Hallelujah. I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And this is from Jesus because he was speaking about his arrest. And he was saying that now that he was going to be arrested, he said many of them were going to fall away. Because he who was the shepherd who was keeping them together was now going to be arrested. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he said, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Hallelujah. So God understands or God knows that his sheep need to be brought together. Amen. Now, the devil also understands that when you bring God's sheep together, then I have no meat. I don't have anything to eat as long as the sheep are not left roaming in the wild. Hallelujah. The devil's will and plan and desire is that you and I would never gather together like this. That is why the devil fights churches. Because the church is the gathering. When the gathering occurs, there is no scattering. When there is no scattering, it means there is no meat for him. Do you understand? Who is he going to attack? Who is he going to make sick? Who is he going to make depressed? Whose life is he going to destroy? Who is he going to put on drugs? And he has all these fantastic things he wants to share with people. And they are all going to church. And in the church, they are preaching against these kinds of things. What is going to happen to him? He says he has no meat. Can I have an amen? Amen? So that is the reason why the devil attacks the gathering. That's why sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like going to church. That's the simple explanation. You may think it's because of your backache. You may think it's because you didn't sleep well last night. You may think it's because you've lost appetite this morning. You may think it's because your friends didn't come and pick you up. But the devil who is behind it all, he's just looking at the end product. He says, I don't care how you explain it and I don't care what reason you give. I just don't want you in that place. Because as long as you keep going to that place, I don't have meat. As long as there is a gathering, I don't have meat. Do you understand? That's also the reason why the devil hates the shepherd. Do you understand? Because the shepherd is the one who causes the gathering. When we read from Ezekiel, it said the people were scattered because of the absence of a shepherd. So the devil tries to keep the shepherd away because this guy, the shepherd, and that's why you hear sometimes so many stories about pastors. Because the more stories you hear about pastors, you get the less confidence you have in them, and therefore the less likely you are to follow them. Do you understand? Then the gathering does not happen. And when the gathering does not happen, the scattering occurs, and they are able to have meat. Amen. You see, when animals are in the wild, they are exposed to all kinds of dangers. When an animal is brought home and is kept, like if you have a little rabbit, and a rabbit has been kept in a cage at home, it's not likely that some wolf is coming to take that rabbit anytime. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's not likely that some wolf is coming to take that rabbit anytime soon. Hallelujah. So the devil tries to fight the gathering. And then he tries to fight individuals and he tries to stop them from going into the presence of God, from joining a church, from attending the church. And he tries to control them. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I want to show you four of the stages that the devil takes God's people through to try to prevent the scattering, or prevent the gathering. Hallelujah. And we can find them in the book of Exodus. So go to the book of Exodus. And go to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5 and from verse 1. It says, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Let my people go, that they may worship me. Okay? God said, let my people go, and let them go and worship. He came to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the one who was holding God's people prisoners. And God sent a message to him, I want you to let my people go. I want you to release Chichi that she may go to church and worship me. You get it? I want you to release KK. Let my KK go that she may celebrate a feast unto me. Do you understand? And then what happened? Then he says, but Pharaoh said, verse 2, he says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let KK go to church? He said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let KK go? I don't know the Lord, and besides, I will not let KK go. Period. Hallelujah. It's the same story for Shegun. Same thing for Akwesi. Same thing for every one of us. The devil fights against the gathering. He fights against you. I tell you, if it was left to the devil alone, you would never step into this church again. In fact, he's been wondering what mistake did he make to allow you to come into this place in the first place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to understand what is going on, that we are involved in a spiritual warfare on a daily, weekly basis. Even your little quiet time that you have in your day, you wake up in the morning and the Lord says, let my child go that he may have a little quiet time with me. And the devil says, no, no, no. Instead, look at the headlines on the news, CNN. You get it? Look at the sense of that some people have been detained in Iran. You get it? Something that does not even concern you. And you become so interested in that. You know? Have you considered that you need to arrange these things over here? These books in your room. And the books have been there ever since you moved into that apartment. But it is only that day that the arrangement of the books has to become so acutely important. Because you have decided to have your quiet time. You decide to pray a little bit. And the devil says, have you considered that you're hungry? You just feel it. You get it? What about suspend the prayer? Go get something to eat so you can have strength to pray. And then after that, you come and you have the whole day to pray. What about that? And then you go downstairs and get the food to eat. And then while you are there, he's trying to find what next? What next? And then anybody he can use, sometimes your friends, someone who hasn't even called you, who does not even call you regularly. And the devil goes to him, call her now. Please call her now. Now. You are coming downstairs just to get some breakfast and go back and pray. Next thing you know, you're on the phone. And now the person is calling you. And within that call, he places also who next you are going to call. Yeah. Because the whole strategy is keep them away from their God. You cannot let these people go and worship God. No, I do not accept that. Do you understand? So he says in verse 3, and then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. But the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Can you see that? Get back to your labors. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall impose on them. So now he's adding to their work. Do you understand? You must impose on the same quota on them, and you are not to reduce any of it. Why? Because they are lazy. And that's why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Are you getting it? Yeah. And he says, let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words. Can you hear the devil talking here? He says, let their schoolwork be multiplied. It is because these people have a lot of time. That's why they are going to church. Yeah. It's because they don't have anything to do. That's why they are going to church. So Pharaoh called all his demons and all the his agents and the people who were working for him. And he said, my friends, what is going on here? These people now are asking, they want to go to church, they want to serve God, they want to do all kinds of things. I don't think you are giving them enough work. You need to push them harder. So he comes up with an idea. He says, before, we were giving them the straw, and then they make the bricks, and they put them together. Now, we are going to stop providing the straw. They must now make the straw themselves. And then they will add the bricks. So now they are going to use, if they have 8 hours to work, they are going to do 2 jobs within the 8 hours. And now they have to make the same amount of bricks they were making before. Hallelujah. Amen. And he says that, let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it, so that they do not pay attention to false words. What are being called false words? The false words are the words of Moses, the prophet. The words of the pastor. The words of the preacher, which were actually the word of God.
Because God is the one who had sent them to go and tell them to come out. So Pharaoh says, those words are false. And they are paying attention to it. I do not want them to pay attention to false words. Even in the church, the devil does not want you to pay attention to false words. He doesn't want you to pay attention to preaching. That is why sometimes you be in the church and so you feel even a very strong edge to go out. When you step out, you don't even know why you came out. But you just, it's like you needed a break. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, anything he can do, sometimes even to delay your coming to church. He knows if you can come to church in the middle of the service or something, you probably may not make as much out of the sermon. You may not understand it fully. You may not get exactly what they are trying to say. Hallelujah. The devil is against it. He is against what we are doing because he knows the gathering prevents, it leads to starvation for him. He has no work to do if there is no child of God to oppress. The devil's primary purpose for existence is to oppress the people of God. He has nothing else to do. When he used to be in heaven, when he was Lucifer in heaven, he had 24/7 praise and hour job, praise and worship job to do. When he left the place, he was fired from that job. So now what else does he have to do? Except the work of gathering people together and coming between them and their God and ensuring that their worship of the Lord is either prevented or at least hindered. Amen. Amen. And that's all. So he says, let the labor be heavier on the men and let them work at it so that they pay no attention to false words. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding me? So number one is that the devil does not want you to go at all. Isn't it? He does not want you to go at all. So I'm sharing this with you so you do not take your challenges for granted. When you wake up, you don't feel like going to church. Sometimes you are even dressing up for church and then something happens that cancels the whole plan. Do you understand? Sometimes someone with whom you are going and then the person says, I'm not going anymore. Then suddenly you don't feel encouraged to go. Do you understand? And I'm telling you that the devil uses all these things. You know, he uses all these things to attack the people of God. You know, you find you be there Sunday morning, someone who never visits you calls and says, I'm on my way to your place. Yeah, I'm on my way to your place. I want to see you today. I'm in the area, I want to come by. Then you are stuck in the house. It's like your program is paused. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because he does not want you in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Then number two, if he cannot stop you from going, then the next thing he wants to do is to prevent you from going too far. Do you get it? So in chapter 8 of Exodus, he says in chapter 8 from verse 25, Chapter 8 and verse 25. Because now God sent a lot of plagues into the Pharaoh's land. And the whole place was getting destroyed. So he realized that I don't have a choice. Pastor Munene has come to pick up the people to the church. So it looks like they have to go. Do you understand? So he says, okay, no problem. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go and sacrifice to your God, but within the land. That means you don't actually have to go to the church. You can pray in your room. Isn't it? Yeah, who has felt that way before? And there's no need to. I mean, it's also the same prayers. Isn't it? Stay here, read your Bible, I'll help you. Then he says, I'll open the pages for you. You can have a really good time right here in this room. You don't have to go. It means you don't have to give offering. You get it? You can stay right here and have your own private worship here. It's even going to be nicer because you will be reading the Bible. I will be interpreting it for you. You'll be so blessed and you stay right here. Do you see? Have you found out sometimes you decide to stay home to do something? And then by 12:31, you still haven't done it. And you still didn't go to church. Amen. So he said, you can go, but go and worship him within the land. Verse 26. He says, you should not go to any place. Where's verse 26? He says, but Moses said, it is not right to do so. For we will sacrifice to the Lord our God. What is an abomination to the Egyptians? If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not then stone us? In other words, the things they will use for the sacrifice, the Egyptians don't like it. And he's telling Pharaoh that if we do it here, it's going to offend you. Just like some of you say that you are going to pray at home. Your flatmates and roommates, if you were to start singing and praying at home, they will not be happy with you. Do you understand? And the devil knows that. He knows that because there are people around, you cannot do certain things. But he's lying to you and creating the impression that it's okay. Everybody will accept it. You can have your quiet prayer here and have your quiet singing here. You can express yourself. After all, it's your own apartment. This is where you live. You pay for it. Until the time and opportunity to go to church goes by. Once that is gone, when you get to it and you start to pray, you realize that it's not possible. Someone is playing his reggae music loudly. Bob Marley music. You say you want to sing. You ask me who do. And Bob Marley is singing Rastaman Vibration. Yeah. No woman, no cry. And then your flatmate or your roommate is moving around the house and shouting, no woman, no cry. You know how people sing intermittently, then he will go off. He will not sing for a while. Then the song will be playing and then you'll get to the part where he can sing, no woman, no cry. Yeah. And he's just moving around the apartment. You say you are worshiping in this place. You ask me, who do I? Indeed, who is going to ask who what in this apartment? We are singing No Woman, No Cry over here. That's the song that's going in this place. That's what, so Moses said, look, what we are going to do, we cannot do it here. If we do it here, it will offend you. If we start to sing the way we should sing, if we start to pray in tongues in this apartment, you're going to have a problem. So let us go and let's go and worship God. And in verse 27, Moses says, we must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord our God as he's commanding me. Amen. That means there's no problem with traveling to a far place to go to church. Hallelujah. It is worth it. So, but this church you are going to is so far. Why do you have to go so far from Fremont all the way to Oakland? Do you have to go so far? See, Cupertino. She said, aren't there churches here? Why don't you stay? If there's no church, why don't you just stay in your room over here and pray? After all, God is everywhere. That's the voice of the devil. Worship in this place when he is aware that he has lined up things. You start your worship, he's going to interrupt it. He's going to interfere with it. He's going to intimidate you and make sure that that prayer or whatever never comes on. Hallelujah. So he said, I will not. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you cannot go very far away. Then he said, and remember to pray for me. Classic indeed. Remember to pray, say some of the prayers for me. But I don't want you to go too far. See, many of you, the devil has not succeeded in keeping you from coming to church or keeping you from being saved or being a Christian. But he has succeeded in keeping you shallow in it. That is that you can go, but don't go too far. Don't go too deep. Yeah, you don't have to go. You don't have to be in it so much. It's okay if you go there on Sundays, you know, but Tuesday. Come on, it's too much. I mean, it's too much. Now you are doing the thing too much. Go and worship God, but don't take it too seriously. Don't go too far with it. And Moses is fighting with the man and asking, you know, I want to go and worship God. I want to go 3 days' journey and go and worship. And he says, no. Okay, if you insist on going, I'll let you go. But it has to be just here. Just here. Go once or twice a month. It's okay. It's enough. You don't have to be this serious Christian. It's okay. You don't have to be praying in tongues. Do you even understand what you're saying when you're praying in tongues? You don't have to go that far. You get, that's for the, you know, the deep guys. Do you get it? But you can just be a nice, polished Christian brother, nice, polished Christian sister, just nice Christian. And then just let's just keep it that way. Works for you, works for me. It's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, and by the way, when you go, pray for me. Pray for me. Say some prayers for me. Hallelujah. So number two is that he lets you go, but he doesn't let you go too far. Do you understand? He doesn't let you go. Some of you come to church, but you don't even sing. It's like you've come, but not too far. You get, when you come, okay, they're saying this, you ask me something. Please, don't sing all these things. They are not necessary. You've come. It's okay. The pastor has been preaching and shouting. He wants you to come. Now you've come. Just stay right here. Cool. You don't have to get so involved. That's too far. Yeah. They say that they have some stars and so all these stars things. Yeah, it's not nice. You don't have to sing, KK. You don't have to join this thing. Because it's not necessary. It's enough. You just go to the church. You are a member. It's okay. Do you understand? It's okay. You don't have to go too far. You don't have to be too deep into it. Because it starts to hurt my cause. So Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you, and I shall make supplication to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go and sacrifice. Hallelujah. Well, then number one is you will not go at all. And when he loses that, number two is that you go, but don't go too far or too deep. Then number three is, even if you are going to go far and deep, go alone. Don't go with your family. Don't invite your friends. So if you look at chapter 10 and verse 8. Chapter 10 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 8. Very quickly, please. Chapter 10 and verse 8. He says to Moses, so Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to him, okay, go serve the Lord your God. Then he said, and by the way, who are the ones going? Do you see? Who are the ones that are going? So verse 9. Moses said, we shall go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our heads. We shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. So verse 10. Then Pharaoh said to them, what a shock! Thus may the Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Take heed, for evil is in your mind. Yeah, you want to sneak out. You want to get out of my control. That is why you are asking. You want to serve God. Now, first I said you shouldn't go. We've discussed this thing. I lost the battle. I let you go. I said don't go too far. You say you want to go 3 days journey. They're having 3 days fast in the church. You want to join. They say they're having dawn prayer on the phone. You want to join. Okay, I made you join all these things now. Now, I ask, who are you going with? Now you are telling me you are bringing your roommates, you are bringing everybody. What is wrong with you? You are not going. He said, God, what? He said, the Lord be with you if if I ever let you and your little ones go, take heed. So it means be careful. Be careful. Because there's evil in your mind. Hallelujah. The devil, when he has lost the battle with you, the next front on which he fights is that you just come alone. All right, it's okay for you to go. But don't let this your church thing affect anybody in this place. See, all these guys here, all these ladies in this apartment, in your friends, your family, all those people are not a part of this. Okay? You do this yourself. As long as you do it coolly, between you and I, we can have a nice agreement. I let you go. But don't let it touch any of these people. I don't want you to invite your husband. I don't want you to invite your wife. I don't want you to invite your children. Your little ones must not go. Your little ones, what is wrong with you? Your little ones must not go to such a place. And your roommate must not come to this place. Don't bring your roommate. That's my personal property. I'm working on him. You should not get him involved with this lighthouse type of things. Don't do that. Hallelujah. And he says, so they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. You see, not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord. For that is what you desire. That's what you asked for. So go. Don't bring the children. Don't bring everybody else. Amen. Amen. If the devil can't stop you from coming, the next thing he wants you to do is you do this alone. Hallelujah. And so to fight the devil, if you are fighting him, you have to be intentional about not doing this alone. You have to do what Pharaoh did, what Moses did. Moses said, we will go. We are going with all our people. Can you give us the verse? In fact, the guy was so shocked when he asked the question, and by the way, who are those going? And Moses said, what did you think? What is wrong with you? He said, we shall go with our young and with our old and with our sons and our daughters and our flocks and our herds. We shall go because we must hold the feast to the Lord. That's when Moses said, Pharaoh said, what a shock. Are you serious? You are taking everybody with you. I let you go to the church and now you want to make it an apartment block affair? Yeah. Like some of you who live, what's the name of your place, KK? What's it? Summer House. So just one person from Summer House is allowed to come. And now you want to bring the whole Summer House to the church? No, it should not happen. He does not want that to happen. Devil does not want people to serve God with their families. He wants the people to go, leave your little ones at home. I'll be here with Barney. We'll be instructing them, putting demons in them. You go and sing your songs and go and sing your hymns and come back. But we will be here. Hallelujah. We must strive to worship God and serve God, not just by ourselves, but with everyone who is connected to us. Hallelujah. Joshua is the one who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that's why I don't leave anybody behind in my house, even if they don't feel they can fall asleep and everything. We just carry them to the church. Yeah. Amen. Because I do not intend to serve the Lord alone. You must serve the Lord with everyone that is connected to you. If you have found something in him that is worth traveling here to get, then you must do your neighbor a favor by bringing them along too. So they can also experience the feast. Moses said, we must hold a feast to the Lord. And that is what it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the next level, number four, is that if he can't stop you from coming alone, then he wants you to leave your livestock behind. Number 10, chapter 10 and verse 24. Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. You and your little one. Go serve the Lord your God, only that your flocks and your herds must be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. Can you see that? He says, now go and serve the Lord. But don't take your flock and your offerings and your sacrifice. Don't take that with you. Okay, go to the church. Just leave your wallet behind right here. Yeah, don't, because he knew it. The only reason why they wanted the flocks and herds to be there was because that's what they used to sacrifice to the Lord. That's how they made their burnt offerings and different kinds of offerings they offered to the Lord was by the flocks. And Pharaoh knew that if you can send the people but take away from them their ability to make offerings to the Lord, then you also attack their worship in some way. Are you getting it? So he said, okay, no problem. We've gone backwards and forward. This discussion doesn't seem to be working. So go and serve the Lord your God. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones who we said shouldn't go, now they can go. The little ones may go with you. But your flocks, then he says, but Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Therefore, our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. This Moses is very wild. He said, not a hoof shall be left behind. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. Until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord. So we can't tell you, in other words, we don't know how many of them we will need. So we are taking everything. Hallelujah. Amen. When we get there, the Lord will show us what he wants us to sacrifice. But we are not leaving anything behind. We are taking everything, not a hoof. Hallelujah. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Hallelujah. For we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. When the devil doesn't get people at level one, he tries to get them at level two. When he doesn't get them at level two, he tries to get them at level three. When he can't get them at level three, then he tries to get them at this level. So there are a lot of Christians who have escaped all three. They have been able to escape. They've been able to go far in the Lord. They've been able to come with people. But they don't have an ability to worship God with their substance. They are not adding their substance. They are not adding their substance. They don't pay tithe. They don't give offerings. They don't do those things. The devil said, leave that thing here. This one is mine. I'm going to use this one. You go and sing praises. As for God, sing praises to him. But over here, I'm going to handle your finances. Don't serve God with your finances. No, I'm going to give you problems and bills and different things that you're going to use this money for. I'm going to cause people to have all kinds of problems, relatives who are going to be sick, and all kinds of challenges and difficulties. You wake up one morning, someone has come to remove your mirror on your car. So that you can use the money that you would have used to serve the Lord to fix it. I had a friend, he woke up one morning, someone just brought something like a key or some sharp object. And the person just ran it on the side of his vehicle. It's like the person just walked like that. along the side and then just walked back. You know, the whole car, new car, is scratched all the way from the back to the front. All kinds of unexpected expenses, stupid expenses. One day I went to San Francisco and parked my car somewhere, and then I went into a store to get something. And then I went into the store and I got it and came back to the car. You know. So then I called this person. And I asked her, I said, I saw this thing in the store. I thought of getting it for you. What do you think? Then she said, okay, she'd like it. So I went back into the store just to pick up this thing. By the time I picked the thing up and turned around, my car wasn't there. I couldn't believe it. I mean, just minutes and my car was gone. to think, did I pack it here? I knew that I packed it, and it was at the meter, and I'd put money in the meter, so I didn't see why my car should go. Well, I didn't know that even though there was a meter there, that particular place was for commercial vehicles. So it was money in the meter, but it's supposed to be money in the meter for commercial vehicles and not my car. So I went there and I saw a man standing. I said, did you see anybody take a car from here? He said, oh yeah, they took it about 5 minutes ago. I said, what are you saying? So where did they take the car? He says, he doesn't know. Then I asked another person who told me. And then I went, they showed me where the car was. And I went, and when I got there, I couldn't believe how much I was supposed to pay to get the car. Yeah, 400 and something. And even the person who is behind, the person is behind the cage. So even if you are crazy or you're mad, or you can't do anything. You get it? She says, well, you got to pay it. And from where I stood, I could see my car in their yard. I couldn't believe it. It's like the devil has just come to steal my money. Yeah. And that's what the devil likes to do. Just these different kinds of useless expenses coming to take your money. Even buying things you don't need. Yeah. Stirring up in you a strong desire for something that you don't need. And making you feel, when you pass the thing and you go home, you feel like you've done something wrong. If I don't buy these shoes, something will happen to me. You get it? And it says, it's on sale. Are you aware? It's on sale. It's on sale. I mean, a $400 shoe being sold now for $99. Come on. You are crazy if you don't buy this. Yeah. You say, but I don't need another shoe. You say, no, it's not about if you need another shoe or not. It's the price. Look at it. It's the price. This is a huge bargain. 400 original price. Look under $399.95. It's 75% off. Yes. See, I don't have anything. I don't have anything I'm going to wear with these things. Don't worry. We'll think about that one later. I don't have anywhere to go with it. I'll show you where to go. I'll show you where to go. I mean, you're a young lady. You need to have some of these things among your things. You get it? Just from time to time. Yeah, you need it. You never know when you need it. One day it will come in handy. Just to deplete your funds. Yeah, he just wants to deplete your funds so that you don't have anything to give in the church. Both to help the work of God and also to help yourself in the form of blessing that comes to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we must not let the devil get us at that level. Hallelujah. We must be like Moses. Moses said, hey, we are going, all of us, and we are taking our flocks. Not a hoof. Everybody say, not a hoof. What is not a hoof in the French? Where is the thing? Pastor Munene, where is the... Huh? Give us the not a hoof in the French. Pas hoofé! Yeah! He says, therefore, our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof will be left. He says... No tropo, iron avec nous, nous, et in a restaurant, pas un ongle. Ongle. So where's the hoof? Ongle. Pass on ongle. Huh? Pa-un-ongle. Isn't it? Yeah. We are not leaving any ongle behind. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, don't come to church without your ongle. Hallelujah. Yeah. They want to take it so that they can use it. Prendron pour servir, servir l'éternel. Isn't it? This looks like it's God. Huh? Yeah. Not a Jew. The Lord our God. A. Jusqu'à ce que nous soyons arrivés. What is he saying here? Until we have arrived, then nous ne savons pas ce que nous choisirons pour offrir. Okay, what does that mean? So, we need to bring it. Our. We wouldn't know what to bring. That's it. See, he's saying something very important here. See, sometimes even when you go to church, you must actually be open and say, Lord, what do you want me to give today? Are you getting it? And that's why Pharaoh was trying to predict and say, okay, don't take anything. Moses said, no, we need to take the whole thing because we don't know what God will be asking for us. Wow. So we're bringing everything. Not a hoof, not an ongle. Ongle. Wow. Pas un ongle is staying behind. Hallelujah. Satan cannot stop us. Amen. We're going to continue to serve the Lord. Amen. With everything we have, he will not stop us. He didn't stop us from getting saved. He cannot stop us from going further. He cannot stop us from serving with our friends and our family and the people that God has put around us. And he cannot stop us from using our resources also to serve the Lord. Can I have an amen? Stand to your feet and let's share a word of prayer. Amen. Right. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. Maybe as you think through today's message, it's obvious that all of us have escaped the first one. But I wish I could say so for the second level, which is that we shouldn't go too far. Some of us have been trapped behind the second level. We're serving him, but we're not going too far. We're members of the church, but we're not going too far. We're not doing the things the church does. We're not joining in the meetings, in the prayer meetings, in the other services, because we do not want to go too far, or because the enemy is trying to keep us from going too far. Then there's the third level where we're not involving people around us. We know so many people we could extend a hand to. We could invite to come and share what we have experienced in the church, but we are not doing it. And then the fourth level is that even though we have come this far in him, we are not serving him with our substance as we ought. Let's pray this morning or afternoon and say, Lord,